This is my journey. Inspired one story at a time, a library of leaders was created. It began as a journey to learn. As time went on, it began to grow. All it needed was a platform, and this podcast was created to listen, to inspire, to share. I am a storyteller, and this is my journey. Welcome to another episode of Profiles in Leadership. I'm your host, Steve Anderson, and today we're going to tackle another Pearls of Wisdom summary. These are taken excerpts from other interviews that I've had, past interviews, and just kind of bringing out some of the very impactful and insightful things that were said by my guests, and so that we can have a chance to discuss them and consider them even deeper. These are absolutely crazy times that we're living in right now with shelter in place and stay-at-home orders. We're hunkered down and trying to stay out of community interaction, which what we found during this time, even more so than before, is how important that social interaction with our community really is. And being told that we can't do that and being stuck in our home, so to speak, for a period of time now, I just think that brings it out even more. And we need that social interaction. We need to feel a part of a bigger community. And not being able to do that, I think, brings about not only some financial hardships that many people are going through, but also some emotional issues that we're having to deal with, because we want to be around people. We want to continue to do what brings us joy, and it's hard to do that. My heart goes out to all those people that have lost loved ones during this time. And I also want to say how impressive and how thankful I am that we have healthcare workers that are willing to risk their health to deal with this pandemic and taking care of people that have symptoms and are trying to fight this crazy disease. So let's jump into some of the finer points of interviews that I've done over the last few months, and just kind of look and see if we can find some inspiration and some deeper meaning in some of these interviews. So first up is Mark Bareka, who is an executive at REI Co-op, and he talks a lot about the importance of giving back to the community and being a part of a community, and also how to inspire people within that community to step up and be leaders and do their part, whether it's in a business or the community, the greater community as we speak. So let's hear what Mark has to say in this Pearl of Wisdom.
Dave Matthews, I'm a huge Dave Matthews fan. Dave has a lyric that says, when you give, you begin to live, you get the world. I'll say it again. When you give, you begin to live, you get the world. And so back to the early part of our conversation, you know, I'm blessed, I'm lucky to have grown into a career, into a job where I really feel like nearly 110% of the time, I'm giving back in some shape or form. You know, I'm trying to help the co-op shape public policy for the benefit of the outdoors. We're donating dollars to not-for-profits. From a leadership perspective, I don't try to dictate. I try to enable and educate people to lead themselves or to lead others. So I feel like in my span of control, in my span of influence, I'm actually trying to give opportunity to others to be leaders. And I tell you, it's so freaking rewarding. I try to give, and it is a deeper kind of living than I've ever had in my, you know, first couple decades of career. And it's just, if you can summon the fortitude, if you can find the opportunity to give, you do begin to live and get the world.
That is so beautifully stated by Mark. I think in a crisis like we're in right now, this COVID-19 pandemic, you know, it's easy to sometimes think, oh gosh, you know, it's all about me and what I can't do and what I've lost and so on. But if we can look beyond that and look at the community, you know, what can we give to help our fellow citizens? What can we do to help bring our community back? And what can we do together as a team to try and not only get back to where we were, but even have a better society going forward. I think these are the key things that are going to really determine what the future looks like. And unfortunately, sometimes it takes some of these bigger disasters to remind us that it's not all about us, that it's about the greater good for all, and what can we do to help cultivate that. And how are leaders dealing with leading teams that they have before the pandemic hit, how do you keep your teams together, and what's the best way to lead? There's just so many unknowns. This is territory that we haven't been in before, like we said earlier. So I think it's really interesting to consider how to do that and admit that we don't have all the answers, that we don't know exactly how to do it. But if we just go back to the basics, perhaps we can come out on the other end of this. This is an interview that I did with Drew Boston about how to lead through a time of crisis like we're going through right now. And I think he describes it really well and shows some vulnerability of not having all the answers, but just doing the best you can.
What message do you give your people that are going to be affected by it? And how do you plan for what you don't even know what the future?
I have thought so much about that. We're doing 5 a.m. calls, each day, just at the beginning for an hour or two, just to, touch base, see where our forecasts lie and, what does it mean? The thing that I can't get out of my head here is the people that, this is going to affect. And I've kind of coined this, I have to lead with my heart. And don't get me wrong, and I'll get to the other side of it, but leading with the heart is, I want this team to be together on the other side of this. And so I have to listen, and I have to listen exceedingly well, harder than I probably have ever had, that I've ever done in my life. But that being said, all the listening in the world, and it's not that we're bending to all the needs of all the people. We're trying to come to a balanced solution, because at the end of the day, I have a responsibility to give them a place to land in hopefully 2 months, 3 months, whatever it's going to be. And so this is leading to some very hard decisions in terms of staffing and how we're going to move forward with it. So, leading with the heart to compassion and humility and understanding, but through the business lens of making certain that this business survives to provide a place to flourish thereafter. I mean, we're trying to balance all of those components as we go through this total unknown. I mean, we've built out models till the end of the year, and I hope it could be better than our models. But we started at what do we think the worst could be with this thing.
Now, there are some pearls of wisdom. Three very important parts that he just described there. Drew Boston said that we need to lead with our heart. And when is that not appropriate? And also, keep the team together during this time of crisis and not knowing how we're going to come out the other side. How do we keep our talented teams together? How do we keep the group together? And then listen exceedingly well. I think that's something that is often brought up in leadership discussions, that we need to be better listeners, but especially now we need to listen to people's concerns, and not only about their jobs and their financial pieces and that, but also their anxiety and what they're feeling, what they don't have, what they need when they return. These are all very, very important parts that as leaders, I think we need to just consider as we lead through this, the crazy times that we're in. And talk about leadership in some pretty tough situations. Darlene Eskra, who was the first woman U.S. commander of a Navy ship, says it this way as well. She talks about doing the right thing and also taking care of your people. So let's hear what she has to say in an interview I did with her a few weeks ago.
Well, my pearl of wisdom is to, always do the right thing. And as far as, leadership is concerned, I think if you're always looking to do the right thing and to take care of your people, then you hopefully will be successful.
And as leaders, I do believe it is our job to make sure that we try and take very complex things and make them simple for the people that we lead. And I think Darlene just said it very well and very simply. Do the right thing and take care of your people. And if you do that and you always lead with that first, I think you're going to come out fine. And leaders are part of teams too. So what do we do as a leader? What do we do as a teammate when we maybe don't know exactly what to do? It's not laid out in black and white for us. We just need to kind of move forward. Sometimes this is the time where you actually need to shoot before you aim. You just need to keep in motion. So I thought this was really interesting in talking to Dan Anderson, who is the rehab director of a retirement community, and how trying to protect those people, they have to come together as a team, and they have to look at everything as, what are my actions doing to support this community and support the team? I think you had some really profound pieces of information or pieces of advice here. So let's hear what Dan has to say.
You know, and you're seeing this in the national coverage and stuff too, is, you know, we're learning a lot from this. And I think that our facility will forever be changed because of this. And we are going to do things completely different for the rest of our existence in this facility, because there were things that were not up to par for handling something like this.
So Dan, when you get up in the morning and head off to the facility, what's your biggest challenge?
It's a good question. I think for me and my little world within my facility is really my staff. And I know that my staff has more touch points to residents and other staff members and people in that, within that facility, way more than I ever will myself. And so making sure that my staff is in a place to handle those conversations and touch points within the facility as best as possible. And I think that tends to be my focus, is just making sure that my staff has that. And then beyond that, I just want to make sure that I'm doing what I can for the people that, in my opinion, are handling this on a much higher stress level than anything I'm doing. And so just making sure that I'm there for them and not waiting for them to ask for help, because they're handling so many things, they don't even know what they need to help, and just stepping up and doing things and just making sure that they know that they've got me if they need it.
That's what you call leading from any level. That's when you just see something that needs to be done and you roll up your sleeves and you get in and do it. People respond to that extremely well, especially during a time of crisis, because there's often not enough time to give out instructions or go by the guidebook or the playbook. You just need to step up and do what's necessary. And that's seeing what needs to be done and leading by example. And also, it is so important to give the right message to your people. If there's so much emphasis on this one outcome, and then for whatever reason you don't reach that outcome, you don't want to just have it so defeating that your team loses its motivation. With Dan's leadership role in a retirement community, they are just so focused and working so hard, and there's so much stress and so much anxiety to keep the coronavirus out of their facility, because they know that if it does get into the facility, then all hell can break loose and disasters have happened in other long-term care facilities. So it's just so much emphasis on that. But at the same time, the staff is working hard. They're doing everything they can. They're working as a team. So you have to protect them to a certain extent as well. So I think Dan brings up a really good point about not putting so much emphasis on one outcome, because, you know, sometimes you can't control everything, and sometimes things just happen.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that from leadership standpoint within the facility, and something that has been shared and communicated, I think, in a positive way, is also just not living and dying by the success of, do we, you know, have a confirmed case, or have we kept it sustained to this, or do, because the truth of the matter is we're going to do everything we possibly can, and we might do everything we can, and it might not be enough. And so if you live and die by that, hey, we have to keep it out of our skilled nursing, then if, God forbid, something happens and we do get that positive case in that skilled nursing, then it will just crush the staff. And we can't have that. That's when we need them the most. And so it's kind of that, you know, defining your success based on what you feel, what your staff feel, and what what the residents feel.
As leaders, we have to know what's sustainable. What can we give our people? What goals, what outcomes can we provide them that go over the long haul, and that if you hit a misstep or something happens, that it doesn't crush the whole momentum that you gained getting there. So having the right language and setting the right expectations and helping your people understand what is the important piece and what are the important components of a plan, I think is very, very necessary. Another important component of leadership, especially I would say in a time of crisis like we're in now, you need to be consistent. You need to show your people that you they can predict how you're going to handle it. They know that you're going to step up. They know you're going to do it. So by stepping up and meeting a crisis head on, that doesn't mean being someone different who you are. It may mean taking a little different approach. It may be being more direct. It may be being more intentional than normal. But it's that you're consistent and the people know that you're going to be there for them. So in this interview with Tyler Ott, who's the long snapper for the NFL Seattle Seahawks, he talks about being consistent with your teammates, but also showing your authentic self so that they know they can trust who's leading them.
I'd say just be consistent. Be a consistent leader. Don't try to fit someone else's mold. If you're filling in a new leadership role, stepping in for someone else, don't try to be them. Be yourself and be consistent, because that's what people want to see, I think, is you need to be yourself and you need to be your own person. And whatever that is, you have to own it and be it. And people will respect that versus you trying to be someone you're not.
Yeah. And I think, you know, being that authentic self, if you're not, people can see through it in a second. You know, they just have to, they have to know that what you're saying and what you're doing is your authentic self, and then they're willing to listen. If they think you're being a phony, you're dead before you even get started.
100%, I agree.
If you've done your job as a good leader, you've put together a very talented and a very loyal team that is there to support you. So once you have that team, one of the things we need to do is to trust your people to do their jobs and then praise them when appropriately. So let's hear from Sherry Baker, who was deputy police chief, and how she thinks that praising your people and making sure that you trust them is extremely important to your success.
I would say trust the people that work for you and demonstrate that you trust them. If you give them a project, let them do the project on their own, in their way, with a little bit of guidance if necessary, but trust that they're going to do it. And then once it's done, praise them in public and say, wow, that was a really great job. And also to model good ethical behavior, because that will circle around and create trust.
And speaking of the word trust, it's really interesting times that we're in now. Due to things that have happened over the last several years, when it comes down to it, people don't trust their government as they used to. They don't trust the media as much as they used to. Where do they get their information about how to deal with a crisis like we're in now? Or what information is correct and what can they base their decisions on? And studies have shown that people now are trusting their employers. So they look to their employers or who they work with to be that source of information that they can trust. So it puts an extra burden on company leaders and so on to make sure that they really take the time to make sure that they understand what's going on and to present it in a way that that people hear it. So that continued information out to your people, to your team, to your employees, especially now that some of them have been furloughed or maybe laid off for a while, you know, what is the company doing? What is the plans for the future? And those regular touch points are very important for people to feel that they're still a part of the team, that they have a hope for the future, that they can come back on the team if they've been let go for a while. And this is extremely important. It takes extra time, but it is so valuable to make sure that you're reaching out and letting your people know as much as you can and being as transparent as you can as to what's going on. It just can't be overemphasized how important it is to have regular communication that people trust, that they see coming in to inform them on what's going on and what they can do to still be a part of the team. I interviewed Todd Gifford, who is the current CEO of Therapeutic Associates, and he talks a lot about, you know, what we just said about how you need to communicate with your people and getting better at communication and also giving people hope and giving people ideas of what to expect in the future, even when it's really hard to predict that. So in this interview, he was talking about leading at a time of crisis, and the COVID-19 epidemic had hit our area, and they were having to make some really tough decisions with a lot of staff members. And so how do you do this in a way that is respectful, has dignity, and also gives people hope for the future?
You're the CEO of a very large company. You've got a lot of employees that are looking to you for leadership. So you have to give messages that give them some hope or comfort, I guess. And then you also have to make some hard financial decisions. You're in a tough spot right now. That's got to take a lot of time and worry. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. It's really sharpened, you know, these types of situations really sharpen your focus and your communication skills. I think one of the things that I feel really thankful for is the team I have around me that can help support that. But also some of the things we've done in recent years to really improve the communication structures with our clinics, and all staff members. So, you know, as you develop trust, and, you know, you were part of developing that in our organization for a long time. So as people really look to their leaders and they trust them, they just want to know as forthright as we can be on an ongoing basis what's going on. So we try to be as transparent as we can with our staff members, what we're thinking. And what I've really tried to do is lay out in my communication to when I send things out to all of our employees, what's the background on why we're making the decisions we're making. And they may not agree with it, but they also know that they have venues and we've offered venues for them to voice their opinions, even those that we might not agree with. So yeah, the last 2 weeks have felt really long, but I also feel very thankful that I got a great team around me that's helped, you know, just process the wave of information both internally and externally to help us be able to give our people answers.
Really does keep coming back to that, doesn't it? About building a team, surround yourself with great people and let them do their job and support them. I mean, having a team that performs under pressure, or a team that performs when you need them the most is just the holy grail. And so I just think that taking the time in non-crisis situations to build teams and train teams and help them learn and grow and work on personal and team development is just so essential, because when you need them, you really need them. I asked Michelle Efron what her pearl of wisdom is in relation to leadership, and this is what she said.
Well, my pearl of wisdom, I'm sure that lots of leaders say this, but I feel like one of the best things you can do as a leader is surround yourself with people who do things better than you and have skill sets that you don't have. Because if everyone on your team is the same as you, then the wheel's lopsided, right? And so my hope when I build out a team is to have a different skill set so everybody can come together and make the ride a lot smoother. And so that's my pearl of wisdom. Just surround yourself with people who do things that you don't do very well so they can help you along the way, so you can actually do the leading and other people can help push the whole thing along with you.
When we get to the other side of this pandemic, I'm sure we're going to see leaders that really stepped up and did a great job. And I'm sure we're going to see some examples of maybe some that didn't. And it's so important to prepare for the unknown and prepare for times like this when you need the people the most. So again, as I said earlier, taking time to develop your teams and to help them with coaching and to get some coaching yourself and to develop your skills over time so the pressure's on and the crisis is ready for it is extremely important. This is an interview I did with Isabella Neusley. And she lives in Switzerland, and she's been a high-level executive in international companies multiple times, and experience on what we need to do to make sure that those teams are prepared and that we as leaders, executive leaders, are well prepared as well. So this was a clip that I took out of the interview I did with her.
My pearl of wisdom, it's a beautiful term, by the way. Learn about like people, get the balcony perspective, get the ego out of the way, seek feedback for reality check. Because when you look at history, it used to be the jester that served the purpose of giving honest feedback to the king. Today, it's more of employees and colleagues, but actually family and close friends deliver the best reality check because they know the leader the best and they can provide valuable insights into unconscious patterns, even if they are unpleasant, but they tell you the truth regardless of your status and title. Then get a coach. And last but not least, you know, many people have regrets on their deathbeds, and there are lots of books out there on that topic. So the regrets to not have had the courage to live life for oneself instead of others, or the regrets to not have gotten out of the hamster wheel earlier, the wish to have let oneself be happier despite, and that ties into your previous question, despite the perceived imperfection or the feeling of not being good enough. But when you become aware that most of these regrets are actually consequences of personal choices, you might want to ask yourself what it means for your life today. What kind of leader do you want to be remembered for? In the interview, I asked the same last question to each candidate. How do you want to be remembered? And aside from being a good parent, almost all of them said that they want to be remembered as a good person that encouraged and helped grow others. And I sometimes ask the follow-up question, do you live your life according to how you want to be remembered? And often this was the beginning of a long yet inspiring discussion. So I would conclude maybe with one of my most favorite sayings, which fits well the timing of the end of the year, which goes, one day your life will flash before your eyes. Make sure it's worth watching.
So here you have it. Great insight from great leaders in all different aspects of business, physical therapy, and other businesses as well. Just giving us guidance on how to lead in normal circumstances, but also how to lead in a crisis. This is being recorded when we're about a month into the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic, and our businesses are still operating at much lower levels than usual. Some of them are actually closed, and it's just a really trying time for everybody. You know, in crises, leadership matters, and the people that have stepped up and tried to help others get through this really tough time, I so admire. And we think of leaders of being, you know, as we talked earlier about being consistent and being there for people and not being saying one thing one day and then saying another thing another day. It just doesn't help the process at all. So lifting others up, trying to help them see what the future may look like, I think we can all agree that it's going to be different than it was before. We can return to many things that we've loved and enjoyed during our lives, but the future will be different. This has really shaken our world, not just our communities and not just our nation, but really the world. We're going to have to look at things in a different way. And as Simon Sinek said recently in one of his posts, the person who that will succeed the most is someone who can look at their job when we are on the other side of this and say, how will my job be different? And what can I do in my job to do things in a different way that's going to help society and help our business in the long run? Because I think it's a mistake to say we're just going to sit here and hunker down and wait until this is all over and then go back to doing everything exactly the same way that we've always done it. I think that's a wrong way to look at it. I think we have to look at how will my job be different in the future? How can I be even more effective than I was before? How can I use technology? How can I keep the public safe? And how can I do things that benefit my entire community, not just myself and my business? So those are the challenges of the future. No one ever said leadership was easy, but these are the kind of things that I think we need to consider going forward. So I hope everyone stays safe and plays by the rules. Do what you need to do to help your community. And hopefully you've gotten some insight from this episode of my podcast and listening to other interviews as well. I really appreciate your attention and you taking the time to listen to this. And if you have any feedback, please reach out to me and give it to me. I'm always learning every day, and anything I can do to improve myself as a leader and to improve how this podcast comes across, I'm totally open to. So until then, be safe, be healthy, and we'll see you next time. Thank you for listening to another episode of Profiles in Leadership. To listen to all my interviews, subscribe to Profiles in Leadership with Steve Anderson on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, and many other popular podcast platforms. Some of these interviews are on video, and you can search YouTube for Profiles in Leadership with Steve Anderson. You can also access the entire library of interviews on my website, orange.coaching.com, and that is orange.coaching.com, and go to the Media Center and click on Podcasts or Video Gallery. You can also enter the website from pilpodcast.com.